great morning. Huh? 'Tis Thursday, the 28th of March. It's a very special day for anyone that doesn't know. The 28th of March, you know, so.
It's my dad's birthday.
A great man was born on this day. The tallest man in America was born today. Today.
Happy birthday to my daddy.
Happy birthday, Nick.
Nick Jones, everybody. Quick Nick.
Quick Nick. Quick Nick.
Quick Nick is almost 80 years old.
And he's still pretty quick.
He is still pretty quick.
That Nick, still pretty quick.
We got a text already. Good morning. Good morning, fiancés. Did you hear about Trump selling his own brand of Bible? Yep.
Yeah, Crystal, we definitely did.
Like, what do I do if my Bible pages are sticky? Question marks abound.
Oh, my gosh.
We did.
Morning, Crystal.
Good morning, Crystal. We're going to get to that.
Wow. Yeah. I saw that. Like, there's always just so much going on, right?
Yeah.
And it's great not to have Trump dominate the news cycle. But understand, he's not going down without a fight every single week.
Bruh.
There's going to be something that pops up in the news cycle. And you're like, wait, what? You're selling gold sneakers. What? You're selling Bible. Sir,
well, why okay. Would you, well, first of all,
what's
you guys
next,
are not
pillows.
Well,
yeah.
I think Mike Lindell, you know, he's got something to say about that,
right?
Yeah, the gold shoes. There was that, and you know,
ugliest shoe in America.
Just an absolute ridiculous notion. But I can't wait to see them in the wild. Like, I'm really hoping to see a person with that pair of shoes on.
Yo, they're getting whatever is a higher insult than what are those, they're going to get that from
indeed.
Me. Because they're clown shoes.
Indeed.
You will, like, uniform clown shoes. And then, like, you're, like, I'm laughing you down. I'm, like, you have
directly been into your face.
Sir, ma'ams. Whomevs.
Thems.
That, listen, I wish you would come around me with them kicks on.
I can't wait.
I cannot wait
to see them in the wild.
Honestly, the only place I would find them acceptable, Comic-Con. That's it. That's
the only place. As a part of a cosplay?
As a part of a cosplay, or even just like, hey, I'm wilding out at Comic-Con. I'll be all right with that. I'm still going to be like... You're going to get still a look of dismay, and there'll be some ridicule, but it'd be far less... Than me just seeing you, you know, you kicking it at the mall and you're heading into the movies and you got, if you're heading into Regal or Lloyd and I see you with them light, bright gold, you thought you had a fit on. You thought you ate. I'm going to tell you, I'm throwing popcorn.
Okay. All right. We're not doing all of that.
Okay.
You're
sorry.
Actually no. Going
fine. To. Fine. There'll be no snack assaults.
None.
Jalapeno rings.
He has a Bible that says, God bless the USA. And that's why you're buying it. Not because it's the Bible. Because obviously you already have one of those. Because this is, you and Trump share the same religion. And you do the same things and you go to church together. Not together, but you know, same days. And now you have a Bible. You need one that says, God bless the USA. And you know what? You're going to buy that Bible for $60.
You know what? You're going to buy that Bible.
I don't have any idea how much Bibles cost because I've never purchased a Bible.
And
but a $60 Bible.
They are purposely not that expensive because everyone's supposed to be able to have access to the Word.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
He's given us the $59.99 version.
That's wild. For the United.
And I'm not sure if this is, you know, funding the campaign or if this is to, you know, go to the bond he needs to pay, or if this is part of a settlement, you know, I don't know which pipeline this money is going to go to. But I also wonder, did you think that you were going to be able to like fund your campaign by selling sneakers?
Oh, yeah. Like, sneakers, Bibles. I really am curious what's going to be next. Like we did mention, maybe he won't do like Mike Lindell did what he did with the MyPillow. All right. There is still space in the real world for the guy pillow.
Ah, huh? Indeed. That only guys.
Only guys
can buy it and sleep with it.
Right.
Or use it.
It's just for guys. It's not like the MyPillow. This one's for guys.
It's the guy.
It's
pillow.
The guy pillow. Holla at Sean. He's a distributor. Holla at Sean. He's a distributor in New Jersey. Can I play? I'm sorry. I didn't realize we were going to do this, but my man, he's my favorite. He's my favorite white Christian man, James Tallarico. And I had to share it on Instagram yesterday. I've showed you some of his pieces before.
Okay.
Sensational.
He doesn't mention abortion or gay marriage, but it goes on and on about forgiving debt, liberating the poor, and healing the sick. Christian nationalists like to say this is a Christian nation. Not only is that historically inaccurate, not only is that theologically blasphemous, but it's also just not true. Look around us. If this was truly a Christian nation, we would forgive student debt.
Ooh.
If this was truly a Christian nation, we would guarantee health care to every single person.
Ooh.
If this was truly a Christian nation, we would love all of our LGBTQ neighbors.
Ooh.
If this was truly a Christian nation, we would make sure every child in this state and in this country was housed, fed, clothed, educated, and insured. If this was truly a Christian nation, we would never make it Christian nation, because we know the table of fellowship is open to everybody, including our Buddhist, Hindu, Jewish, Muslim, Sikh, and atheist neighbors. Jesus could have started a Christian theocracy, but love would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
The closest thing we have to the kingdom of heaven is a multiracial, multicultural democracy where power is truly shared among all people. Something
Boo.
That's yet to exist in human history. The Bible.
Boo! Boo! Boo this man!
Boo this man! Tomato, tomato!
Tomato, tomato, tomato. Excuse me.
And you know, I am not, despite my upbringing and all of my religious periods that I've gone through, I'm not a religious man. I'm a spiritual one.
Mm-hmm.
But that brother right there consistently uses the word to check Christian nationalists. Consistently does it. And it's just like, this is awesome. Y'all
yeah,
really don't.
Yeah, they've got to uplift his voice like they do Joel Osteen, you know?
Oh, exactly.
How come I've never heard of that guy's name? What'd you say it was?
James Tallarico. Oh. Yeah, he's in legislation, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got a couple other texts. One, keep on the lookout. Trump holy water is coming next.
Oh! Yo, he literally could sell bottled water.
Oh, 1,000%. He probably does.
He probably already does.
Yeah, like yeah. There's definitely bottled water that say Trump in, you know,
yeah.
Gold. Listen, Bible, shoes, and cologne. It's a whole comedy show if you show up like that.
P-Town.
Did you catch that interview with Renee saying he will absolutely not give out essentials to those experiencing houselessness? I have not seen that, but we all already knew it because he already was like, I ain't about to do none of that.
He was already like, no more tents for y'all.
So that's really, I mean, okay, cool. We're doing great. We're doing great. P-Town and Trumpelstiltskin's face when he said the Bible's his favorite book. Gross.
Right.
I mean, like,
it's like the
I
name
can't
of passage.
Believe, how many years are we into this where that man has been around for, you know, in our face talking about the things he does and doesn't do?
Oh, my God.
You don't read.
The Bible, the menu, the nothing.
The nothing. The literally, the brief, the memo.
No.
The post-it note.
Nothing.
Nothing. You're not about to get me to believe that you have a favorite anything with words. Not even a song. Like, you don't. I'm not buying it.
No. No, it's, yeah. the day he realized he could get away with not reading contracts because he doesn't plan on honoring them, it's like, what do I need to read?
Yeah. I mean, hi guys.
I don't care what's on that paper. I'm not paying you. So.
That paper is only worth anything because my signature's on it.
That's it. And you should take it and frame it. You should probably you can get frame some money it. For it because I'm not going to pay you what this paper says I'm supposed to pay you.
I'm certainly not.
You got me some. You got somebody else on this, and then it ain't gonna be me.
Fam.
Yeah.
Another one. Morning, fiancés. What's good? XOXO. Rudy Tootie with the facts of life. And now I will have the facts of life theme song stuck in my head for the rest of the day.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So
that'll do it.
So that's where we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Rudes, I gotta hit you up. We're gonna do a live broadcast. Podcast has no name. From Rose City Comics. So I want you in on that, bro. I gotta shoot you the deets to see if you're available.
This is not.
It's a production meeting.
It's not actually. It's a production meeting for a different show. Okay? Let's reel it in.
All right. Fair enough.
You know? Just reel it in.
I had roots and, you know, I just wanted to.
Do I have you?
Talk to my close personal homeboy. About fair. Some stuff you got going on.
So everybody else is here too. And we're going to move on.
Pete said coffee out the nose laughing. I'm glad we're having that effect. There was a little bout of the giggles as we were doing the intro this morning. Yeah, there's something in the air right now on this Nick Jones birthday. He's bringing joy to all of us.
It's true. He's absolutely one of my favorite Aries.
Listen, this man. Okay, so you guys, I'm sure you probably don't know. Some of you probably don't know this, but for those that do, I'm sorry for repeating myself. Morgan Jones.
Oh boy.
Comes from a family of media mavens.
Uh-huh.
Starting with that amazing matriarch, one Geneva.
Geneva Jones.
One Geneva Jones. Used to be on AM Northwest, the first black woman, if I'm correct.
I believe so.
On AM Northwest, doing a cooking show in the morning.
She was the first black woman on TV in Portland.
Boom. Like,
on a regular basis.
Yeah, possibly Oregon. Yeah.
Probably Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we had Snapper, you know?
One Steve Jones.
One Steve Jones.
Indeed.
Steve Snapper Jones.
That's his name.
And we got Nick Jones. Listen, Nick, the way Nick controls a room, it's effortless. It's effortless. It's stand up while he's sitting down.
It's true.
It's stand up while he's walking in. It's just, you know. And then where has Morgan found herself? In one of the most unlikely places. If you were to ask her this, you know, 6 years ago, nah, 10 years ago, MJ, you are going to be spending a lot of time on microphones in front of people and talking to audiences live.
No.
She would look at you, brow furrowed, like, what are you talking about?
You
Do you even know me?
Me?
Yeah, right. Clearly you don't know me.
And that's fine. Not everyone has to know me, you know? It's totally fine. But no, I won't be doing that.
Sorry. Thank you for coming. Sorry. I'm not going to be doing that.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
And yeah, here we are. I definitely grew up watching my dad. My dad would, he did a lot of speaking engagements at school. So he would even go to the schools that I went to. And I'd be like, oh my God. Just kidding. I was always so excited.
That's dope.
My dad's coming today. And he's just, it was amazing to watch him. Like he just commands a room.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I don't think he sees it that way. Just like I don't see certain things the way, you know.
Yeah.
So.
You guys sharing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to that man.
Meanwhile, you're sending coffee out of Pete Town's nose.
Oh, okay. See, no. Rudo said, Morgan, can Ambush come out and play?
It's a legitimate question. Then you give me permission or not?
Stapled. This is your permission right here. Me saying this part, and then we can move forward. Stapled Spine was invited to do a horror gaming panel at this year's Portland Retro Gaming Expo.
Whoa! Nice.
But we can talk about that later. Can we, Rudo? And it feels like now we have to talk about it because holy moly, donuts. What's the Portland Retro Gaming Expo? Like, have I been to that and I just didn't know it?
I don't think you've been there. It is at the convention center, right? I believe it's at the convention center.
Probably.
And, like, you would love it because another thing you guys don't know about Morgan, she is a gamer.
I'd be like a gamer, too.
Yeah. She does.
I wouldn't call myself
kick
a gamer,
my though. Rudy Tootie in Injustice quite a lot. I'd be mashing them buttons, bro. Listen. You know how it feels to not be the best in Street Fighter in your own home? Having graduated in the mid-90s and not be the best in Street Fighter because some woman is manhandling me with the Street Fighter of her choice? She gave it to me with E-Honda. And I'm just like...
You know I did.
You know I did. Come on. What's happening? Well, I did like the classic Street Fighter... up against the ropes cheat with Chun-Li with the sweep.
Oh,
just keep doing the sweep.
Just keep doing this.
No, to no avail.
If you can't get the scissor kick off, are you even playing?
Bruh.
You know? I'm not sure you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I spend a lot of time playing games by myself. You know? That's what an only child does. Stranded at the drive-in.
Not at the drive-in.
So the broke boy is selling $60 Bibles. there's just a theme of audacity happening right now. It's just like, oh, word, like everywhere I turn.
Would you include one Puff Daddy in the theme of audacity?
I would include the Department of Homeland Security.
The nerd.
In the diddlers. I mean, y'all.
Yeah, he's, yeah.
There are a couple of things happening here. One, Sean Puffy Combs. Mm. Sean P. Diddy. Diddy.
Papa Diddy Pop.
Puff the Magic Sex Trafficker.
Okay. Is that in the notes? Was that off the top? What is happening? Wow.
Here's the thing. This is bad. It's big bad. It's real big. It's Breaking Bad. It's awful.
Yeah, it's super big bad, bro. Yeah. It's, yeah. Yeah. It's Bob's Big and Boy
I'm
Bad.
I'm sorry for laughing. This is not any... I'm laughing because I do, in fact, love to see... I love to see this.
Yeah.
I love to see... this particular brand of powerful man have to hop on the private jet and
abscond.
You know, in Secession, when I don't remember, exactly where in the world they were, but it was like, we're just going to basically
fly around
hover.
These countries.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to fly around until we figure out like what the, what our statement is going to be.
Yeah.
Like what I think he did that. Because yep. They were like, he's on his way to Cape Verde. He's on his way to Antigua. He's on his way to so-and-so. And yep. I don't know. I think he was still just like circling Miami. I remember
Logan legit was like, just keep it in the air.
Just keep it in the air.
Where are we going? Keep it in the air.
We're going to have the military come refuel us. Okay? Because I'm not coming down until I know
right.
exactly where I need to be. Got to be in a sovereign citizen somewhere.
Wait, Rudo,
you know you won't extradite.
Rudo hit me with ambush, just constant leg sweeping garbage. That was, listen, I was confessing, okay? I don't need your judgment. Somebody said, did he? Oh, you know he did. That's the t-shirt. That's the t-shirt.
Yikes.
Okay. I need you to send us your name or whatever name you want us to use for your text. Cause that's the
That's it.
That's the t-shirt right there. I'm with you. I'm with you. Like, I'm here for this brand of accountability, retribution from the state, whatever you want to call it, karma, whatever. I was in a text thread with some homies. Shout out to Think Tank. And I said, do you understand how it feels, how it could feel to be this Teflon for so, so long that you ignore a credible threat in a civil suit? The suit goes, the suit is actually filed, and then within 24 hours, boom, you pay it off, and you still think, I'm going to move forward with my life. Because he was doing victory posts and...
Was he?
Oh, the second he paid Cassie, he put a post up dancing through the mansion. Like he was in a video in his robe. Okay. Talking about, they trying to take me down. You see, I'm blessed. And the,
I mean, he was afterwards. Trying to buy NBC. He did okay. Make it out alive.
Okay.
So, Teflon Don.
I said,
it was John. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Oh, okay. It was John that did he? You know he did.
Like, he was Teflon hilarious for so John. Long. He woke up a month or two ago and thought he was a very powerful white man.
Still.
Yeah.
I think he actually still thinks that. This will just reinforce that he is, in fact, a very powerful white man.
Whole time.
We had being no taken idea. Down.
Being, they're just taking him down, man.
Someone said.
Oh, gosh.
This is like Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein to the 100th power. And here's what I'm going to say. Y'all are racist. Bam.
Hello, racist.
Do you know what Jeffrey Epstein was doing?
I don't. Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. He was doing it. He's doing big bads as well.
Yeah.
Lots of them. I just don't know, like, that immediate impulse to be like, this is going to be way worse. The amount of children involved in the Jeffrey Epstein situation is like, should we even be just, how about we just wait?
Yeah. It's almost like, let's keep the lid on that shoebox because there's way too, the man had an island for that. Nah, so, that's.
So yeah, like there's, it's almost as if you forgot what the other people did just completely. Because that person is a black.
Completely.
You know, like
The amount of powerful people that Harvey Weinstein impacted, like these are all celebrities. There are actors, actresses, producers that will make sure you never know their name.
Yeah.
Who've looked the other way when harm, like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, so again, we're not trying to minimize what Puff did
at all.
At all,
no,
but
not at all.
Let's just, you know, there's apples.
Burn
to
the
apples
witch, honestly. So, you know,
get
like
them all out of here.
To be clear,
get them all out of here.
There's nothing that he has to offer at this point. It certainly makes me have a lot of feelings. Like you were just explaining, you know, there are people that have just turned and you know, not said a word.
Right.
We know these things are happening. That is absolutely true for this as well. It's absolutely true for Russell Simmons.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, to that point, Kimora Lee Simmons was trying to tell us about Diddy a while ago.
Facts.
And I'm pretty sure he hit her.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Sean, one of my favorite moments of this week in all of the Diddler news is that Piers Morgan decided he was going to cover this because, you know, that's definitely a piece of news that matters to him.
Yeah.
And all that matters in that entire interview that I sillily watched the entire thing, he calls him or pronounces Coombs. Sean Coombs.
Why?
And I need to know, that's not how they say comb.
Right.
You know, like you don't comb your hair.
Right.
Or do they?
They don't.
I was cracking up.
I don't know. What was that? What's that pretentious, like, We already give you so much because you're English. You don't have to add anything extra on top of it. You don't have to add anything extra on top of it.
We have stories to talk about, but
I don't know if we're going to get to them.
We're not, probably. Here I am trying to, get through just our up top things, and we got through two. So I'm going to say right now, there are some pressing matters. You know, we've got a story about one Oregon governor, Tina Kotek, and her lady wife.
Yeah, right.
And we should throw maybe problematic lady wife in the front of it. And then.
Are they? Oh, well, so your eyebrows. Okay.
I should tell everybody that Ambush was, in fact, completely busy last night while I was doing the news, and we did not get to talk about it. So anything that happens today, he does not even know what's happening today. But yes.
Oh, man.
That story we have. Hopefully we get to it. We're also got the another attack on, white men. Honestly, we just continue.
Wish you guys would stop.
Just continue to pummel, and so much so that now our infrastructure is crumbling because of it. We've got these DEI bridges. If only they would hire people that would hire people that based on the content of their character. Based on their merit.
Yeah.
Instead of their skin color or orientation.
Hey, you know something? It's interesting how we got here, because you can very obviously spot, if you're looking, if you're aware, you can obviously spot a DEI bridge. They usually crumble when large ships hit them. And look at all the bridges that have always crumbled when large ships.
And sometimes they shake a little bit.
The pattern is there, guys.
Yeah.
DEI bridges are everywhere, and something must be done.
But also, in a DEI bridge conspiracy, there are other conspiracies that abound. You know, is it a cyber attack?
Mm.
Is this a terrorist attack? Is it domestic? Is it foreign?
Mm.
What is it that they want? Are they shutting down the supply chain of Baltimore?
Are they attacking our agriculture?
Probably. But anyway, we don't really know, so we're just going to say that it's likely because there's a black mayor.
Right. Cool.
But then we also have other audacious situations. Ambush, the men that were convicted of killing Ahmaud Arbery are, what are they? Relentless in their pursuit to waste everybody's time. And there's some urban alchemy mess going on. There is, Idaho is out here doing Idaho. Big things in Idaho. And that is, we will not even use the word diversity anywhere in government.
Labor breathing.
When I tell you that seeing those three white men celebrate with their, pen signing.
Mm-hmm. Bill signing.
Thank you. Sure. Whatever it was. And holding up their certificate of completion. I don't know. I just want to, do you know that you're still in Idaho? Like, what race to the bottom are you in? You are already, who's doing what? Aren't y'all like 97%? What? What's the DEI that's happening there?
I saw a similar thing on Twitter. I follow Khalif. I can't remember his brother's last name. He's heavy into gaming. He had Spawn on Me podcast. I believe was on X-Ray at one point. And he was responding to this very racist gaming content creator. And he was like, all this DEI stuff, that's all well and fine if you want to do that. But
I don't.
But the percentage of white men that purchase these games hasn't changed. So maybe what you should do is keep making content and games that reflect your true audience. And everyone responded saying the same thing. Like, at what point have there not been an overwhelming amount of white male protagonists in games. When did that shift happen where we stopped seeing the white male protagonists in the video game? What are you talking about?
Well, there's a blue lady in this one thing.
Don't have and no so, blue ladies. Don't have no blue
you
ladies.
You know, so woke.
And I know we're going to come back to it. The Ahmaud Arbery thing, like, again, I'm sorry, guys. If some of this stuff has hit me for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They appealed their hate crime conviction.
Yeah.
Because life in prison is any shorter. They have life.
Yeah.
And they just want the hate crime tag off of it.
I think so. They're like, we didn't do, that didn't happen because of race, sir.
Oh. So is it like they think that, you know, the people that they're serving their time with will look at them differently if they get that particular, what's
confusing
about?
Is like the Aryan Nation is right there. Why are you not clicking up with your brethren? You know, I know they're there. They do big numbers in prison, you know,
big numbers.
They do. I'm sorry for laughing. I read a text. And so then I started chuckling. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine.
I said, did Ambush say labored breathing?
Ha! I did.
Yeah, he did. Okay, so my warning I'm giving y'all is we're not going in the order that we...
No.
Because what we definitely gonna cover is the Waffle House strike.
Ooh.
And we're gonna cover
Shout
that
to them.
Directly after this music break.
Okay. We will catch you guys on the other side of this music break. There we go. And we are back. It's News with my fiance.
DJ Ambush, Morgan Jones.
Boom.
Be a part of the tech squad, fam.
Boom.
Fiance.
Y'all are lighting the texts up. Lighting them up.
And Pizza
I was like, I can't even text the way I'm laughing right now. I can't even.
So you reminded me in the break that there was a moment this week when one Vice President Harris went to
Lord of Mercy.
Puerto Rico.
I did see this.
That's how Donald Trump pronounced it. Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. That breath in there.
Yo.
And he says it like, I want you guys to be proud of me for pronouncing
I'm
it.
I'm doing it right.
Puerto Rico.
But also there's a hard R in here.
Yeah.
There's something not okay about it.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. Like, the way he looks around when he says certain words, like, put a ribbon
right.
on me.
Yeah, I did
put
it
a
right.
ribbon on me.
Got a
Puerto Rico.
So she was there, and they greeted her, they being some protesters, with a song asking why she was even there.
Yeah.
But
it was in Spanish.
And said, thanks, but no thanks, colonizers. We want nothing from you. And she was like, I love this song.
It's a bop.
This is so great. And she needs a Gary. You know, like...
She was dancing to it.
She was dancing... The man next to her, who I thought was maybe her Gary, he was dancing. And that's what made me realize, you're not Gary. Gary from Veep would never allow this to happen.
Never.
Selena would not have to deal with that for that long.
No.
It would happen.
Mike would be dancing to it.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Well,
before Ben says something
to him. It's a catchy tune.
Yeah.
The way that the woman, like the interpreter... She knows what's being said.
Right.
Vice President Harris just clapping along, like, look at what they love me.
Oh,
this is amazing. And then you see her whisper and you see Kamala be like, huh, oh, just a couple head nods and then the clapping stops. And then you see the guy with her, his clapping stops. And they're just both like, huh, oh, okay.
It's like a scene from Drunk History.
It's exactly that.
Yeah.
Man, where'd that show go?
We just got tired of it.
Okay.
Yeah. The way they were delivering the jokes wasn't really...
It got bad, huh?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that you reminded me of, and what a beautiful scene. What a sight.
What a sight to be seen.
Now, so we have...
Said, go ahead, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, so you said we're jumping in the Waffle House, right?
Well, I'm going to give you the Ahmaud Arbery because you... you had asked. The three men that were convicted of murdering Ahmaud Arbery, if you'll remember, Ahmaud was jogging down the street. And
right.
That was so scary. It was just, also, I think he was going to steal a house.
Yeah. You know, because that's what we do on our jogs. We pick up houses.
You know, a house under construction being built. He stopped and looked at it once or something. And they were like, well, clearly he's going to pick it up and take it.
Yeah, so he's going to take some wood from the house.
And I guess that's the reason they hunted him down and got a friend. And three, you know, good old boys hopped in the truck and guns a-blazing. Because he might, you know, take a piece of wood out of somewhere or pick up a house
right.
that's under construction. This is not a race-related issue, is what they are saying. In their trials, at no point was it ever like, I wonder if, in fact, this was race-related. The judge was like, please be for real. There is absolutely nothing to talk about here.
Right.
And so they, you know, got hate crime additions to their
sentences.
To their sentences and their other charges. So, you know, two of them are convicted of murder, and so that's life in prison.
Right.
The other one is convicted of attempted kidnapping, something else, and he got 35 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hate crime element. The hate crime element adds 7 years to one, to like the son's, and 10 years to the dad. That could be flipped. I don't remember. No, I don't remember their names.
Right, which is of no consequence.
It's of no consequence. Life is life is life is life. So here we are wasting time, resources, energy, and just bringing that family back to court over and over again. Bringing Ahmaud Arbery's family back because you're like, but not the hate crime. I didn't do this because of his race. I have to sit through that over and over. Because it's not like, you know, you just quit showing up.
Right.
Or, you know, the case is over to you.
So I was going to ask that. Is there a way that they cannot show up and the lawyer can show up?
Oh, certainly. They don't have to be there. But this has impacted your life so greatly. And these people are just continuously dragging it. They're dragging it. You got these. You have. There is nothing to appeal. You know? So it's just raising money from races. So there's just tons of people willing to give money for a literally throwing the money down the drain. That kind of cause just to flex the racism, flex the.
And then the family is also incurring legal fees.
No, the family isn't because.
Oh, this is the state. This is the state. Okay.
But imagine if, you know, you think this is over, you find, you know, and then it's like, hey, hate to inform you, but they've appealed again.
And there's no civil recourse because you can't sue, like, where are they going to get the money from?
Those dudes ain't got no money.
Right.
It's just.
Oh, man.
Devastating. And I mean it in the way that, like, I wouldn't be able to just stop going.
Right.
Like, if this is my family member, I wouldn't be able to be like, well, they'll be in jail forever, so I don't even need to think about it. Like, this is, no, that's still a part of your life, and they're up there lying. You know, I would have issue.
Right.
And just, for me, the audacity. Like, they're literally raising money to be able to say, please take the hate crime part off of my charges, which will absolutely zero impact me with my sentence. I won't get out earlier. I won't all of a sudden no longer have life in prison.
Right.
It's, I don't know. Can somebody, fiancés, can y'all explain to me what that is? And it's not, here's the other thing. I understand. And I do encourage like people to use every opportunity they have to, you know, appeal a conviction or a whatever, but they're not appealing their conviction. They're not saying I'm innocent. They're saying I'm innocent of the race angle, but there is no way that you are innocent of the race angle.
Not even explain to me the circumstances under which you are innocent. What, like how? How exactly do you want us to swallow that?
It's just not possible. So, like, be for real. All right, I'm going to move on. I'm going to give you the surprise to absolutely no one. That Urban Alchemy is accused of moving a staffer that was accused of sexual assault and harassment from San Francisco to Portland after the lawsuits began.
They're taking notes from the Holy Catholic Church?
I believe we should be calling it Urban Alchemy, the Vatican.
Okay. I want to watch Spotlight again. Let's do it.
Any reason for you to watch Spotlight. This is that, you know, we know they're bad. We knew they were bad. We begged for, please don't send these. Don't do it. Don't spend our money on that. We want no parts. And here we are. We are going to continue to get stories of how bad, you know, but it's interesting that we are able to get off the kind of like, oh, we'll just move them.
Right. Right.
I mean, you have to absolutely disregard the population that you are supposed to serve when it is most important to you to hide the person who has done something instead of making sure that person doesn't get to harm other people.
Now, was this a person that was like, was this a supervisor? Or like, why not just fire the person? Was this someone that was so far up in the ranks of the executive?
I mean, level? They were on site. So maybe a supervisor in San Francisco, unsure, but definitely a supervisor in Portland.
Oh my gosh.
They were moved here and then made a supervisor. And continued the, allegedly continued harassing people, coworkers. Like, it's not, it sounds so terrible to say, not just the, but it's like, population. Not, well, I was going to say not just the coworkers, but also the houseless people or now temporarily sheltered, you know, like. You're just making it worse. So you guys are doing the sex trafficking. You're doing the drug trafficking. You're doing the harassments. You are harming this community and harming the people that work for you and then moving them around.
There are a lot of people that need jobs.
Yeah.
Why are you moving this problematic person around? Oh, I get it. Because you don't find the behavior problematic. You actually feel like this person is an asset. The good outweighs the bad. Oof. So why would we fire this person and bring someone else in brand new? Then we got to train them and, you know, they might actually snitch on some of our policies. At least we can trust this person. Because we have an understanding.
Bruh.
That's just nasty work. And then who gets held accountable for this poor decision making? Whose job is it to hold someone accountable for this poor decision making? It's ours, guys. Let's not vote for the people who thought this was an amazing idea.
Well, speaking of, Tech says, can't help but continue to feel and now think that Ted did this on purpose. And you know, even if he didn't, it wouldn't matter to me because the fact that people, his constituents, can think that he did.
Yeah.
Because you're that bad at so many things, and the top thing is caring about your constituents.
Right.
Yeah, the possibility is absolutely there.
Why are you so bad at mayoring?
I mean. So I do want to get to this story, and this may, I get a little long-winded. So I don't want to, I want to make sure I don't go too far.
I'm telling you right now, the listeners don't think you're long-winded.
They do. Maybe they don't mind, but I don't think they're under any disillusion. I don't talk too much. So you tell me, Ambush, should we music break before we hit the Waffle House story? Because this is, to me, the most important story that we have to chat about today.
Yeah, let's let's take a music break and then Waffle House.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with that. Gotta play more reggae in the morning. Definitely do it. It, you know, it warms the room up.
It does.
Makes you feel a little tropical, you know.
Oh.
You know?
It's a lot of bouncing in your chair.
Pina colada. You know, I love my fruity drinks, blended drinks.
Yes.
I do.
Loves a good blended drink.
Yeah. For anyone that is unawares, what is this amazing thing that is happening to my ears this fine Thursday morning, Nick Jones' birthday? You are listening to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush.
All right, I'm getting into it.
All right.
Waffle House workers are striking. Not nationally yet, but they have started to strike. The meal credit deduction is a mandatory meal credit deduction. They are demanding safer working conditions, 24-hour security, $25 an hour. And the meal deduction policy to end. Ambush asked me what the meal deduction policy
is. I certainly was about to ask you. Morgan Jones, meal deduction policy, whatever do you mean?
That means that the Waffle House deducts $3 for a meal per worker per shift, whether they eat or not.
No.
Yes.
No. There's nowhere you can go and charge me for food I'm not eating. Sorry.
Unless you work at the Waffle House. And in some states, folks are making as little as $2.90 an hour before tips. And then being charged $3 for a meal that they don't even get enough time to eat.
So that is an hour of work that's being taken from them.
I thank you for being clear about that.
I had to do the math just now.
Mm-hmm.
Wowzers.
You are taking an entire hour's worth of pay for me for mostly no reason. I mean, that is a business model that is built on wage theft. They are taking back over $30 million. And when I say taking back, I don't mean like, hey, that was mine.
Right.
They're stealing over $30 million a year from workers. Waffle House workers. Who works at the Waffle House? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you have not been to a Waffle House, fiancés. There is it's a very specific brand.
Yeah.
And it's very purposeful. Waffle House has figured out that there is a part of their business model that thrives on the threat of violence.
I was going to. When you first mentioned the strike, I immediately thought it was going to be security related, because the fact that Waffle Houses or Fight Clubs are like definitely part of the marketing.
Yeah.
People go there looking for, you know, it's a spectator sport.
Exactly. It puts tourists and, you know, the thrill seekers out there, gives them the idea that going to the Waffle House in the middle of the night is going to be this exciting, you know, WWE match. And I want to, I mean, yeah, sometimes it is. And again, those are people, there's so many of those people in that building that are at work.
Imagine just,
you know, like they're at work and their work is not to be the referee to.
Not to be the referee, not to be the gladiator. Like,
right.
The fact that that Waffle House has let this go on for so long, you are like purposely signing up your employees to be involved in some violent encounter because you is part of your profit model. It's great for business. I saw a sign. It was like a printed sign in a Popeyes that was like, you know, watch your behavior. We know how to fight here.
Oh.
And I laughed at it.
Well, I have seen a video in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Of some wonderful workers at Popeyes who, came together like Voltron. It's Christmas.
Formed like Voltron. But what is it? Where have we gotten to where reality TV and the audiences that enjoy that are now cultivating it in places where people just want to have a regular job and serve some food and clock in and out and go home. Like,
that's the thing, that Waffle House has leaned into that. It isn't just, I mean, at some point we do have to realize that the manufacturing of a lot of this is actual manufacturing.
Right, you know? Right, right.
That this is, in fact, it's not almost on purpose. It is on purpose. It is Waffle House seeing a benefit in violence at their restaurants. And they make a decision. It's not allowing it. It's more encouraging it. It's, you know what I mean? It is making sure those clips get out there.
Right. And then on top of that, I'm going to steal an hour from you.
Oh, on top of that, I'm stealing an hour from you every time you come here. I'm also working you so hard that you don't actually get a meal break.
That's the other part, right?
So not only am I not getting a meal break, I'm getting charged for a meal on a meal break that I didn't get.
So they have pulled together and decided to strike, which is amazing.
Yes.
Absolutely awesome.
This is the third day of their strike right now. Their initial announcement was that they were seeking these better working conditions, safer working conditions, more money, the meal deductions to end. And they said that they would be striking for 4 days. I'm not sure the strategy behind giving them that time frame. And I don't know what is planned to happen on, you know, day five, if they continue to strike or if, but like Waffle House is a $1 trillion company.
I was unaware. That is wild. I was completely unaware. I don't think I knew how many states it was in too. I thought it was just like, you know, something in the South.
Sort of Atlanta.
Yeah. Primarily Atlanta. $1 trillion company. That's wild.
And to be able to get away with that much wage theft, $30 million alone, that's just one arm of wage theft. That's not paying people overtime. That's not paying people a wage they can live on. It is already one of the most exploitative positions you can have as a server, to get paid, you know, $3 an hour and then tips. And
right.
When we understand where that job comes from, of, oh, you want me to let black people work here? Well, I'm not going to pay that woman. If you want to, you can give her a tip.
And from what I understand, the way the service works, you tell me, I haven't been to one. You're going to the counter, you're placing your order, and then you're picking up your tray and you're going. So the tips, it's not like there's tips at table service or these tips are either happening at the register or no.
No.
Okay.
It is yes, that, but also order at the thing, sit down, and they'll bring it to you like the pancake house here.
Got you.
Hot cake house.
Okay.
So I mean, I don't know how much people tip in different areas.
Okay, so there's the opportunity to tip at the register, but then also at the end of your meal, you can leave some singles there. Okay. I don't think anyone should be working off of tips, period.
No.
But
that's supposed to be some extras.
Yeah, exactly. I was, you know.
Because of the way that it's billed, right? This is, you're supposed to be tipping because the service was so amazing.
Right.
And in other countries, we don't have that same tipping culture because they're paying people enough money. So we are just paying for $1 million and $1 trillion corporations to not pay their workers enough. We pick up the tab there.
Right. Right. We're paying for our food and we're paying their wages.
You know, why not?
It's the American way.
That's a heck of a business model. And it's amazing to have that business model and so many restaurants still fail. What, your labor costs or what? You know what I mean?
Right.
And these are many of those, big wigs at these kind of huge restaurant corporations are the ones that are, you know, paying money to lobby immigration, stiffer immigration mandates, but have nothing but undocumented workers in the kitchen and paying them no money. And then taking the money that they steal back from the workers and putting it in legislation to say you shouldn't be here anyway.
I, like you, was curious about the strategy of announcing how many days the strike would be. And I do, of course, wish them the best. I hope they get the change that they're looking for. And if they have to go past 4 days, you know, they do what they got to do. But more importantly, I hope that they receive, I hope there's some funding model, whether it's GoFundMe or something. They have some support in being able to wait this strike out. Because I feel like that company, $1 trillion, you know, I feel like they can take a 4 day hit and be like, okay, so now what? You said 4 days. But they're asking for the bare minimum. And it's really, really disturbing to see that. I remember the same thing with the railway workers, the train workers. They're asking for bare minimums. And the fact that there isn't enough regulation and protections in place for employees across these industries, it's nauseating. It's nauseating. I mean, I can't even imagine a scenario where you're charging me for meals that I don't eat, and nor do I have time to take the breaks to eat them. And I'm just really supposed to accept that. Like, I'm bringing this up to a supervisor, and the supervisor says, hey, that's just the way it is, man. It's company policy. They literally just get to say it's company policy for anything. The way a lot of these industries are set up. Well, hey, you know, that's just company policy.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I need to make a correction.
Sure.
Waffle House is not a $1 trillion company.
Okay.
This is what happens when I go down too many rabbit holes at the same time.
Well, I'm apologizing in the moment.
I am correcting it. Mm-hmm. Waffle House is not a $1 trillion company. The Waffle House is, in fact, a $4 billion company, though.
Whoa.
And isn't $1 billion a trillion if you make $2.90 an hour?
Jamie, could you look that up? is Waffle House a $1 billion or a $1 trillion?
Is
$4 billion equal to $2 trillion?
The numbers don't. They're so outlandishly big.
Yeah.
When you are a person who can't afford your rent, and your rent is almost no money in comparison to other places, you know, like this is just
another level of disgust are the people in leadership, whether these are mayors and governors or civic leaders in cities and towns where Waffle House is conducting themselves this way. And that there's no pressure from them to be like, hey, man, at least not in my state. Could you I got to talk to some. I'm hearing that workers are getting charged for meals. Like, why does this disturb anybody?
I mean, we need to be clear about this. It is OK. You charge for a meal.
Already crazy.
But say we said fine to that. Say, you know, as a society, we all said, no, it makes sense. We should all pay for our food at work.
at our jobs.
Yeah, that's fine. What is this? I'm taking it. It's mandatory. I take it from you whether you eat or not.
What mandate said?
Who said?
Yeah.
Oh, just you? Just you folks that are, in fact, billionaires now? Because the chair of Waffle House is, in fact, a billionaire. I am looking it up on the internet as we speak so that I don't get that wrong again.
I am curious how long they were in business before. And I'm saying I'm curious. I don't need you to don't do no typing. Don't look it up.
Wow.
I am curious how long they've been in business before that policy was introduced.
How long have they?
Yeah. And I really wish I could have been a fly on the wall in that meeting where someone mentioned that. And of course, they're going to, you know, mention it with projections. If we do this, we stand to make, and people will be like, oh, so just so I'm clear, Jeff, we're going to charge people for meals, whether they take it or not. So really, it's on them. You know, you're getting charged for it. You're going to take it. It's your choice.
Is it my choice, though? It's actually not.
I like this.
Is it my choice? Is it my choice because you said, you know, once I got the job, oh, by the way.
Mm. Or better yet, they didn't say, by the way, and you started noticing on your paycheck and you had to go to your supervisor and they were like, oh, yeah, let me explain that. It's company policy. Yeah. Another employee told you and you're like, well, that can't be right. And you go to your supervisor.
I'm sorry. I was listening.
Mm-hmm.
And then a text came through and I sillily, that's my new favorite word, read it. And it says, Ryan here. You guys are my favorite show. Thank you, Ryan. On the topic of tips versus paying wages, don't overlook the thousands that aren't going into Social Security and workers' comp when you live off tips.
Oh, Ryan, my goodness.
Ding, ding, ding. Like, where is our... That's it.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for... Because if you haven't ever lived off of tips, too, you don't think about that. You
right.
know what I mean? Like, now eat your food.
No, eat your food, Tina.
Eat your food, Tina.
Yeah, it's P-Town.
Yeah, okay. I missed that.
Episode. What's wrong with you? Eat your food, Tina.
I mean, if you haven't, then you don't even think about it, right? And that's exactly the case. And one of the things that COVID really illuminated for me, that service industry, even, you know, stylists and estheticians and folks that are working that you know, don't have like a W-2 coming
right.
their way
right.
with all of their stuff being taken out. And those who are, but don't, that money doesn't go there. That money doesn't go to Social Security. What do they get at the end of their work? You know, working time.
Mm.
What yeah. happens then? What happens when you get hurt? Like, this is, it's so ugly. It's
yeah.
huge wage theft. It's
yeah.
huge.
I want to make a hard pivot and make sure we get this like a bridge over DEI waters. That title.
Definitely thought I was on a roll last night.
No, you were. You were. You were definitely on a roll. Sourdough, maybe.
Oh, know. Okay.
Croissant.
Wow.
You know?
Rolls yeah, so choice. this is a... You know, why wouldn't this turn into this? I want, before you read this, Ambush,
yeah.
I want you to just keep in mind, why does everything have to be about race? Okay, why do you make everything about race? Who asks that question?
Yeah.
I just, the now one. Please.
Okay. In what appears to be a tragic accident, a container ship ran into the pillar of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Baltimore, Maryland on Tuesday, collapsing the bridge in its entirety. A breathtaking disaster and human tragedy is being seen as a political opportunity for far-right conspiracy theorists. Utah State Representative Phil Lyman and Republican candidate for governor sparked controversy with comments he made regarding diversity initiatives in the aftermath of a tragic bridge collapse. Of the tragic bridge collapse, in a post on social media,
on X,
I was going to say the formerly known as Twitter, platform X, Lyman suggested that prioritizing diversity over citizen safety led to the accident, which claimed 6 lives. The controversial post included a tweet from the Young Conservative Federation, highlighting Corinthia A. Barber, a Black woman who serves as a commissioner for the Port of Baltimore. The retweet criticized Barber's background as a diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging to belonging auditor.
Yeah, so it's diversity, equity, and inclusion and belonging.
Okay. Yes. Auditor and consultant, implying that her role in DEI initiatives somehow contributed to the bridge collapse. Okay.
It did.
Stop making things about race, bruh. Following the backlash, including accusations of racism and sexism, Lyman attempted to distance himself from the comments, stating that they were made by his social media staff without his approval. Mm-hmm. However, the post remained on this account with additional remarks disparaging DEI efforts. Oh my gosh.
I didn't even say it, but I said it after.
But I got this other stuff to say about what I didn't say. DEI consultant Nima White condemned Lyman's remarks as irresponsible, anti-Black, and anti-woman, highlighting the danger of linking individuals' backgrounds to tragic events based solely on their involvement in DEI initiatives. Do we blame Bush for 9/11? He was the president when it happened. Anyways, despite attempts to deflect responsibility, the controversy surrounding Lyman's comments underscores the ongoing tensions surrounding diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts in the political discourse. The incident also raises questions about the accountability of public officials for statements made on their behalf and the potential consequences of divisive rhetoric in public discourse.
Now, here's the thing. This happened so fast.
Very fast.
That not just the DEI part, but the conspiracy parts and the, you know, the we're just in a world of hurt. I don't even know what to say. If you can watch what that was and go, well, they've got a Black mayor.
Right.
As if the bridge was built the day the Black mayor was voted in.
As if he was up there with a wrench putting the bridge together himself.
As if a mayor is a DEI hire? Are we not, like, an elected official is being elected? Are they not? Right. Like, people are voting for that. I also don't know if these people have ever been to Baltimore, Maryland. It is majority Black. It would be a DEI hire if it was a white man. That would be the DEI hire.
Right.
This is a majority Black city.
DEI votes.
It would be DEI if it weren't a Black mayor.
Right.
And that's the part that kills me. DEI, just say the hard R. Much like with CRT.
And woke.
Just do it. Just do it. Because there's no in between. Like, there's no, this isn't a dog whistle. It's not a curtain. It's not a shield. It's the hard R out loud is what you're, just go for it.
The cowardice in your inability to own your racism.
Man, there is, you know, I've said this a million times. I think I will continue to feel this way. It is better to just know that the person feels the way they feel.
Agreed.
It is just not nearly as terroristic as it is to have people pretend that they're here to, you know, they think you are an equal footing and we are, you know.
I know where I stand with you and I can agree to disagree. That's it. Like, we don't even have to have any engagement. Like you're saying, there's definitely, it's odd to say it, but there's definitely more respect in that you were over here.
You mean it with your chest.
And it's like, you know what? Hey.
What mind is there for me to try and change?
Because now I have a decision, which is very easy for me.
Yeah.
You don't like me. I won't engage. I don't have to. Yeah. I don't have to say thank you for holding a door. I don't have to say, you know, bless you because you sneezed. You do not want me to exist. We don't have to acknowledge each other. Look how easy my life just got.
And yours.
And yours.
I mean, there's got to be, you know, a level of, I don't know. Comfort's the wrong word. But, like, for those folks to just, we don't even have to pretend. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to walk away. I'm going to walk away. Everybody's the better for it.
Mm. Someone said, when you said making it about race, I thought it was going to be about how 6 immigrant construction workers who were on that bridge were presumed dead. But of course, it's someone blaming it on DEIB.
We would never talk about those undocumented workers, would we, in a way that matters? Because those aren't people.
Right.
It is incredible that we have to deal with that. The fact that those people were on the bridge still, did not get the Mayday.
Right. right,
are presumed dead. Were six people from Latin countries who were sending money back to their families. And no, the we're not going to talk about them yet, you know, because there's a black person to be mad at. A black person has a DEI job, which definitely means they don't know anything about building bridges. And I wonder if that was a part of, like, is this like job lying on your resume and saying you know Excel when you don't? Right. Like, oh yeah, I totes am a bridge engineer, but I'm here to actually do DEI.
John said, because I'm certain the black mayor built that bridge and chose to name it Francis Scott Key.
I mean, hello.
I'm with you, John.
Also, when the bridge was in fact built, there was a white mayor.
Right.
There was a white man mayor.
Another text. I know social media comment sections are a cesspool, but the amount of people calling him things like a high school drug dealer or saying he needs to learn how to speak better after he delivered a flawless response during a tragic incident really grinds my gears.
Donald Trump went to Puerto Rico and threw paper towels at people. And he's about to be or is the presumptive Republican nominee for president of the United States. And anyone has anything to say about this mayor's response to a tragedy? Donald Trump took a Sharpie and said, actually, the hurricane is coming this way. That's his response to a natural disaster. Keep making it up.
Right.
But sure, he can talk. He doesn't. He's not, you know, a high school dropout or whatever. What they just call him? He needs
a high school drug dealer.
Well, I mean, damn, the racism would just be like,
yeah.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime girl.
Yeah.
Like, you're what? High school drug dealer. You mad because he's young. You're mad because he's black. You're mad because he's there in a. I saw them mad at his Letterman's jacket that literally says the city of Baltimore. And they were like,
why doesn't he have a suit
it's
on?
It's so immature. I don't know. It's the middle of the night.
Oh, my gosh. Right. It happened 1:30 in the morning. Like, it just. Yeah. I also want to be I want to make some space for how quickly people can end up down rabbit holes, especially when it comes to these conspiracy theories. Morgan played a conspiracy theory video last night, and I said it's really interesting watching the music that they used as they were telling this.
Oh gosh,
spinning this web, connecting the red lines to each other, and it was like they're ramping this up, and none of the things they were saying in the video were based on any fact, you know. And that's kind of how this works, right? If I make a statement or an assertion that is so you know narrowed down, it makes it really really hard for you to find evidence to conflict with it, which also leads into the theory of they don't want you to find, like, this is the secret stuff that I have. I have access and I got insiders and all of that. So I remember the following morning as I'm getting dressed and about to leave to head out, I said to Morgan, I said, you know, this is what, remember that movie, that Mahershala Ali movie, Leave the World Behind? I said, this is, you know, hey, this is what a cyber attack could look like. And I said it in the way of, you guys have already heard me say this before. I used to be down that rabbit hole. I used to be that guy. But you know what else it looks like? A power outage. You know what else it looks like? 100,000 other things that could have led to what we saw, including a black mayor. There's so many different things that couldn't have been responsible for that. But
can I just give you really quickly how that conspiracy theory unfolded?
Please
with
do.
The fake X-Files music behind it.
Oh my gosh.
This person said out of their mouth, I went to AI No, I'm sorry. Let me back up. He said that he watched the video of the shipping container hit the pillar
right.
at 8x speed. Mm-hmm. And when you watch it at 8x speed, what do you notice? You notice that there's no way that they could have ever turned away. I don't know. They couldn't make a turn so sharp or something right. like that.
Something the word exaggerated in there somewhere.
Oh, they said, yeah, when you watch it at 8x speed, it really exaggerates how the turn was never possible or something like that.
Correcting the turn was never possible.
And then he said, so I went to AI, owned by Microsoft. And I said, what would be the economic impacts to a collapsed bridge in Baltimore? And the AI told him that Baltimore's port is the number one
agricultural
port for the Midwest, and that there is, you know, now there's going to be no grain, there's going to be no seeds, there's going to how do you get to the farming supplies? None of the things will get there. And then just on the quickest of Google searches, find that that's not true.
The most recent search I was able to find was one in 2020 that lists the top 20 or 25 agricultural ports in the United States. Baltimore wasn't even on the list.
Not on the list. Now, Baltimore is a very important port.
Yeah.
It is number one in like tonnage or something. Like there's, there is, it's a big player by but it is not the number one agricultural port for the Midwest. And that's the thing that gets me. You get real specific about it.
Yeah.
It makes it real easy to know it's true or not. It makes it very easy. Click and, highlight, copy, paste. You know what I mean?
Real talk.
See if someone else said this or if it was just, honestly, ask the AI. Like, that's the kind of stuff. I will do something. I will see you have given me the wrong answer. I will be like, didn't you just... Do you see your mistake? Actually, I do see my mistake. Like, we cannot be wrapped up in the idea because it's getting done quicker or it reads faster than you that it is smarter than you.
Right, right.
Like, this is still a lot of mediocre people.
Right.
With mediocre intelligence.
That are so excited about the technology that they're not spending time on making it less, creating a situation where it makes less mistakes. They're so interested in introducing it into more parts of our life. They're not really focusing on how sharp and how reliable it should be. It's like, let's just put AI everywhere. Let's put it in glasses. Let's put it in the radio. Okay.
Yes, that, but also the people who are programming it do not have any of the intelligence that these need to have
right.
in order to be smarter than us. Like they don't have it. So there's a reason that these chatbots become Nazis.
Quick, fast, on their own.
You know,
yeah,
a matter of 12 exchanges, you know, there's a reason because a Nazi was helpful in programming it.
Creating the reasoning for it. Yeah.
So I get it. We have all reason to think that AI is smarter than us and it's supposed to be. And it's, you know, supposed to help in every way and all of that. But we aren't even using it in the way that we need to just so we can do the. You know,
simple things. Yeah.
It's way cooler to, you know, make one of your songs sound like Drake wrote it or whatever people do.
You're listening to X-Ray FM. Whatever people do. I got to restart. Sorry. You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in the Halem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. That's still hilarious, or whatever people do. Whatever you people do.
We got a text that says, the talking point, the wealthy create jobs. My response, without the millions of people who do those jobs, there would be no wealth. Again.
Right.
I remember having those debates in high school of wealth creation and job creation and being so confused. Like, what are you talking about? So without having any real understanding or real world application of that phrase, of that, you know, how that has impacted our world. That is just the capitalist talking point of I'm doing you a favor.
Right.
Without me, there'd be no job for you to work. Okay.
Trickle down.
Cool.
Trickle down.
Guess what else there wouldn't be? This, you know what I mean? Like if we yeah. aren't, if I'm not creating all of this wealth for you, then you're not going to be in that position either, right?
Period.
Like
who needs who?
Then maybe less exploitation without your jobs. So pass. I don't want your jobs.
P-Town said, wait. All of the Midwest is no all of the Midwest is owned by Saudi Arabia. That's their grass for their racing horses. Think bigger, people. Happy birthday, Dad.
Yeah, you are funny, P-Town.
And Crystal said, Morgan and Ambush, we should get together and I can read your tarot.
Oh, don't play with me. I'm in.
We're gonna set it up.
Also, I just wanna say, I miss my fiance, Michelle, and I haven't seen your name come across or your number in a while. So just, you know, good morning. Love you. Kisses. Mean it. Hope you good. And all of that.
We haven't heard from Malcolm in a while either.
Malcolm is busy. He's there. We know he's there.
Okay.
Malcolm told us. I'm around. I'm at my new job. And
shout out to your new job.
Yeah.
Malcolm.
It's not a new job anymore either. No. He's probably been there like a year. Do you even like it, Malcolm? Is it going okay?
Malcolm, just tell us how you like your new job. Tell us how you like your new old job.
You better get us going. It's true.
Yeah, so today's show made possible by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush, our podcast editor, Kyle G. You know what I'm saying? The man with the plan. I am updating the music playlist now. I got one more song to add to it, our final song for the show. But remember, man, don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we all are free. Did he?
Oh, you know he did.
Hey. Thanks for listening.
Bye.